today on Real Radio.
We can say we have a marriage, we can have marriage license, we can live under the same roof, but if I'm not investing in that private time with her, that's going to be felt, that's going to be seen. So I think there's a direct correlation between how you treat your spouse and your relationship with God. I think it's a reflector being reflected.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage, which takes a break from the norm and discusses the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. In regards to relationships, today's culture wants to throw marriage out because, well, we've watched so many of them fall apart. But it's important to believe in what God calls marriage, and if you're married, make every effort to stay that way. It takes consistent effort, but it is possible through daily renewal in God's Holy Spirit. Today, Pastor Jack, his lovely wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, we're going to be taking questions on what a real marriage looks like on topics that have been discussed so far in this series. Many marriages are being challenged by pornography, sexual immorality, a lack of communication, and little time for biblical devotions. How does a marriage stay strong when even today's culture tries to tear it apart? And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The biblical foundation for marriage stems from the very core, and that is of God. The greatest relationship that we can have on earth is that relationship between a husband and wife in the Lord. And why is that? Because the Lord established us in such a way, body, soul, and spirit, to relate to Him. And the closest way we can do that, I know it sounds crazy because we see the world so challenged by marriage, but it is our marriage relationship that actually allows us to see better the nature of God. And so when we understand that, the foundation of our marriage being biblically based allows us to know God. And that, I believe, as Peter said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to understanding. I don't think that's possible without the Lord being the foundation. And that, for me, is the simple answer.
Let me ask you this one here. This is a very good one. Some of the ways that the enemy is attacking the biblical foundation of marriage. There are a lot of ways, obviously, that the enemy is attacking the biblical foundation of marriage. But what would you say would be the top, let's say the top two?
Well, I think especially where we're living right now is the attack of the marriage regarding the enemy launching sexual immorality into the home. That is destroying families. Lisa, we meet with a lot of couples, and pornography and those things launched from the outside in are destroying marriages. And then the second thing is what we see, a culture of, and I don't want to be crazy sounding as I say this, but it's an antichrist culture. I don't mean people are running around with red underwear and pitchforks. I mean an antichrist culture, meaning that if it's of God, the culture's against it. And I think that's being lived out in the rejection, wholesale rejection of what the definition of marriage is. So I see it a spiritual attack on both fronts. One, the pornographic side of things, sexual immorality is destroying families. And then if you can destroy the very structure of what God's engineering of what the family is, God's definition of it is, you can redefine marriage. Once you redefine marriage, then it's open for anything.
This question comes from the biblical role of a husband and wife. This might be a good segue to jump in. How does your attitude towards your spouse, this one comes from Mary Jo, how does your attitude towards your spouse reflect how you perceive God's gift of marriage? That's a good question. It's kind of a tough question.
It's good because it's reality. And again, it goes back to what I had said at the beginning. I'm going to treat my spouse in relation to how or to the level of my relationship with God. If I'm rude and mean to her, then I have either a very legalistic relationship with God or a very temporary type of relationship with God. I'll throw a couple of prayers up, off I go. I'll read a Bible verse and off I go, whatever. It's not a reality. But if I think if I have a very personal relationship with Jesus going on, it's going to be translated into how I deal with Lisa. That's my opinion. The reason why it's my opinion is because that's how it is with me. If I'm not relating well with the Lord, if I'm in almost a business relationship with God where I've got to hurry, I've got to get this going, got to move on, got to go do my God work, right? Well, if I don't have God time, then I don't think it's God work. And same with her. We can say we have a marriage, we can have marriage license, we can live under the same roof, but if I'm not investing in that private time with her, or at least trying to make private time with her, that's going to be felt, that's going to be seen. And so I think there's a direct correlation between how you treat your spouse and your relationship with God. I think it's a reflector being reflected.
How often would you say we should be reading as husband and wife the Bible? And how often should we do family devotions together with the kids? I suppose that question is separating how much husband and wife time versus how much full family time. Is there a ratio?
I mean, reading the Bible together as often as you possibly can. There is no gauge. I talk to some women whose schedules, her and her husband are just two ships passing. They barely see each other, but maybe on the weekends. So that's sad, I think, number one. But number two, close to impossible maybe that they would even be able to read together during the week. But what about, you know, calling a quick phone call even, or at least when you do your own quiet time and you talk during the day, whether it was a phone call, whatever, at least you have a basis of what you talked about, or I'm sorry, what you read. And now you can talk about what you read, what the Lord showed you. So it may not be that you have that hour to sit down and read your Bible together every single day, but you do have that basis, because it is important, if not reading the Bible together every day, praying together every day. And maybe that has to be on the phone as well too, but at least be doing it. But the goal would be every day.
There's a way, like Lisa was saying, you can text, you can look driving today, you can get devotionals even read to you while you're driving. On and on it goes. So there's really, in this technological age, there's no reason why you can't stay connected. But when you do get together, I really think that you should make up for it.
Hey, I got a question just off the cuff for you. This one comes from me. I'm doing the 1 year Bible with our church. And this, I've tried to do it six times before, and this is the first time. How many of you doing it in here? Are you doing the 1 year Bible? Are you able to keep up? This is the first time I've ever tried it where I can actually keep up. And the other day I'm sitting there and I thought, I'm gonna text Jack with a question, but wow, what a stupid question. This is Christianity 101. I should know this. You ever run into a time, Lisa, where you go, Jack kind of knows a lot. I mean, he kind of knows stuff. Do you ever run into that?
No. Sure.
Because I mean, I did. I did. And then there's times my wife will say, oh, she says, I'm so embarrassed to ask this question. But don't be embarrassed. You ever run into that with me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll sometimes be reading, and it's like you've read that story a million times, and then I never knew it said that. Mm. And then we'll start discussing that, you know. So it's kind of cool that, the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. It's unlike any other books. Of course, new things come.
Does he ever roll his eyes and say, I can't believe you didn't know that?
Never. No.
Never. Okay, good.
No, because at my age now, I forget. But I learn something new every day.
Is
just
that
got it last week.
I meet new people all the time.
That's
wonderful.
That's right. It is. Was that about family devotion too, though?
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah, actually there was. The question was, is there a ratio that should be between my wife and
can
my...
I answer that?
Go ahead, sure.
I too, Davey, I started out years and years ago doing the 1 year Bible or the daily devotional thus and so, and I would either be traveling, sick, busy, and I'd miss a day. Then I'd miss 2 days. Usually this happens at about January 14th, 15th, or 16th, right
it's
into the
true.
New year. Yeah. I got so defeated that I wound up giving up on my daily Bible reading. Because I felt like such a loser. I would step into that trap of condemnation. Man, I'm some sort of a failure. That's why, for example, for us as a church, I encourage the people, start with the daily Bible reading. We'll all start together as a church. But if you miss a few days for whatever reasons, number one, dive into the very day that you're living in. Don't go back and catch up unless you have that time luxury. Because I know how the enemy works. You get so condemned and you'll never catch up. You'll say, well, I missed 4 days. I'm going to start reading. And then the phone rings and the kids wake up or Satan knocks on your door. And it ruins everything. And then when it comes to the family thing, I really, really stress that you keep your family devotions as light. I don't mean Bible light. I mean as happy and as lively and as graphic as you possibly can. I would encourage you to read what you're going to be reading in advance to the kids. Get a little idea. God will give you an idea. It could be a walnut that's going to fit the idea, or it's going to be a branch, or it's going to be a blade of grass or an egg. And use it. I personally believe a family devotion shouldn't be longer than 15 minutes. Make it colorful.
Depending on the age of the child. It might be shorter. It might be 2 minutes.
Well, I asked Lisa to keep her devotions for me. It's about 15 minutes.
But yeah, fun is important because you can just kill the kid with, you know. But if you can't do that every single day, you should be with those kids, praying with them every night before they go to bed, tucking them in, praying with them, encouraging them, reminding them of God's faithfulness, how much He loves them. He's got a future and a plan and a hope for them. Every day, God's, you know, even if they had a horrible day and they're crying about something that happened that day, encouraging him or them, you know, that in the morning, God makes His mercies are new every morning. There's always something new. And when they wake up in the morning, remind them of that.
I have to tell you, I don't know if you, well, you didn't catch this because you wouldn't have been aware of this. But just a second ago, she was telling you verses. Lisa was just giving you verses, and she was doing it in a certain way just a second ago. Did you get that?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Good. Why? Because when we would tuck our girls into bed, we would go like this with the blankets and put them in and shift them into bed and fluff their pillow. And we're going just like this. Lord, watch over them and build the angels around them tonight. And that thing. And the girls would just go, and they look like little burritos, so happy. And listen, look, you guys, our kids are 30 years old. And as soon as she started giving that cadence, I remembered, I instantly saw Rebecca and Ashley in bed, tucking them in with Bible verses and that giggly, goofy little look on their face of contentment. And they're laughing and it's silly, right?
Yeah.
And they love it and they've never forgotten it. And here Lisa says it a second ago and memories from so long ago pop back like that.
Here's a question still in the subject of biblical role of husband and wife. Pastor Jack, some men don't step up as the spiritual leader because their wives are so dominant and possibly better at that role. My wife's better at some things than I am.
Sure.
The wife sometimes thinks that, what advice would you give a woman in that role to encourage her husband to take charge? Most of us would assume that husband should be in charge of
spiritual leadership. Yeah, so you're asking me to give the woman advice?
Not a good idea. Let's go.
No, it's fine. Very. Listen. You may be.
I know.
You may be very well. Okay. You may be very, very better equipped and well educated and more spiritual than he. I'm not going to contend with that. I personally see women on a ratio closer to God than men on a ratio. Seems to be more women are closer to God than the number of men. But having said that, this is what's going to be tough. God has declared that the husband is the head in that home. He's the one that's to lead. He's the one that is to sacrifice. He's to be the giver. He's to be the servant. He's to be the minister. He's to be like Jesus, okay? Even though she or you may know more, whoever's asking this question, you may know more, but he needs to step up. I guarantee you this. Listen, you need to commit this to the Lord and begin to back off, to back down. Why? As long as you're strong, listen, he's intimidated. As long as you are the bulwark of the family, he won't step up. If you begin to tone it down, then it opens the door for him to fill. Now, how is that? You would now encourage him, develop him, strengthen him. Tell him, honey, what do you think about this? Bring him up. He may not even realize it. And usually it's a man also thinking, she's got that covered. She's doing great. She's got that covered. He will easily surrender that post. The problem is, it's a God-ordained post for him. Mm. So in your humility, help lift him up, okay, and encourage him along the way. And by God's grace, you'll see him develop and then take the lead, and you'll be a very happy woman when that happens. That's what I suggest.
I like to say, too, for women that are strong and their husband is not, that they they gently just hand the reins over, just over and over and over.
That's got to be a tough thing to do.
Gently.
Yeah.
Because if the man doesn't, a lot of times a man hears spiritual leader and they have no idea what that means, or it like freaks them out because it's like, what does that mean? I have to get up and preach my family, you know, 30 minutes every day, and I don't know how to study. And so it's just a gentle thing. Like, you know, the wife could say something like, you know, while the kids would really love if you pray with them, I just know they would love that. So, you know, women are natural nurturers with children. Yeah. So sometimes husbands, I mean, not every man came out of this dynamic, Christian, awesome home and has this godly father as a role model that then he's going to duplicate in his own home. So I remember even with Jack, with girls, I remember telling him, just from my own experience growing up as a girl, obviously, telling him, you need to, like, let the girls know, you know, you need to be that example of what a date should be like a man, how he treats a woman, how to show respect, you know, because men don't naturally think like that. They weren't, you know, so, I mean, we have to kind of just help them. And I like the illustration of just gently handing the reins. He may let go, but then the next time, gently hand him back, you know. I think it would be really good if you went and did this or tried that, you know, would you be willing to, things like that, to build him up, to affirm him that this is a good place for him to be, that the kids are going to be encouraged.
I mean, you can attest to this. I just forget.
Yeah.
I just forget.
Yeah. Right.
It's not a conscious decision not to do something.
It's going to be, but listen, I want to encourage you. You're going to have to really take the high road by decreasing, which is going to be a tremendous spiritual commitment on your part, so that your husband can increase. And you might say, I don't even like the thought of that. Yeah, but you know what? You're honoring God by doing that.
Yeah.
Let's move into communication. Communication in marriage. How do you encourage a spouse to communicate when they don't want to? Whether it's problems, daily activities, or feelings. We've all seen it. Husband comes home. How was your day? Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Turn the TV on.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
How would you encourage a spouse to communicate when they don't want to, or when they can't?
Yeah, you want to take that one first?
Well, I can only say what I would say to a woman. I wouldn't know what to say to the man. But to the woman, it might be that, you know, if he is that type, maybe he's just a man of little words, which a lot of men don't like to talk, and that's fine. Women love to talk. But maybe wait till dinner, you know. Maybe, you know, I have some of these conversation starter things or games you can play that are just on little cards. If you honestly don't know what to talk about, you ask him how his day was, he says, fine, now what? You want to tell him about the kids, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear about what happened with your day, whatever. Maybe at dinner, you just, hey, you know, and it could be if you have children, they're there too. But just start something fun. I'm not talking about a serious topic, because sometimes life is so difficult. It's hard. There's a lot of work. There's work in the home. You've been working all day. You come home. Maybe you both are working all day. You come home. There's dinner to make. There's dishes. There's baths for kids. There's homework. There's just stuff, trash to go out. You know what I'm saying? It's just all piles up. And it's just stressful. How about just having fun talk sometimes? Because as soon as you tell your husband, can we talk? I mean, the guy just shuts up. It's like, oh, I don't want to talk, you know, because they know a talk means probably something serious or deep. So turning on something funny, laughing, playing a game, taking a walk. I mean, just keeping something light sometimes, I think, can be helpful to even draw somebody out a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Now, for the man, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Somebody said this, you guys have all heard this, that somehow it was figured out that men only have so many words per day.
Yeah.
Right, somebody figured that out, the man factory somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, but for me, listen, I think of this, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'm just saying this is reality. For me, when I come home, I have a commitment that's to me that my home needs to be something other than the office. Quite frankly, it has to be something other than the church sanctuary or the ministry outreach or the mission field. You understand what I'm saying? I have to come home to a safe place. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I curl up in a ball and suck my thumb in the fetal position. I mean a place where I want to talk about something that will lighten my heart. So if Lisa were to say to me, now we don't have this issue in our home because we both work in spiritual settings. So she's not interested in, you know, if I was a rocket scientist, then she would say, you know, what'd you do today? But we pretty much know what's gone on in our days. And so for me, when we come home, I want our home conversations to be what she just said. I want it to be light. I don't mean like a pretend. If we have to make a decision like we are right now about a roof or about this or that, we have to talk, that's life. But I don't want to get into, oh, you know what? How do I handle a situation where Susie and her husband, no, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's where I live 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But when I get home. So with that, I would say to her, I don't want to talk about that. And she could interpret that as, he doesn't want to talk. No, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is something that is other than. So maybe you want to think about in your home, create an environment. Don't ask him how his day went. If his day was really in such a way that he wants to talk about it, this is the way a man is wired. He'll say, you know what? My day stunk. That means he may or may not want to talk about it, but he's willing to throw it out there. And you need to kind of handle that. But he'll bring it up. So you say, what do we do? I want to talk to him. Then you know what? Find a topic. Get a topic. And you should know each other by now. Even if you've been married for a week, you should know he or she really likes to talk about buildings or architecture, paint, stones, birds, it doesn't matter, right? You can connect somewhere, and it works that way.
Let's move into the subject of protecting your marriage. Marriage, we started off the program by saying that marriage is under attack. Under any circumstance, there's a question from the audience, this is a good one. Is it okay for a man and a woman to communicate via text or email without their spouse's knowledge? For with being the opposite sex, I would suppose, is what they mean.
Let me think. No.
Yeah.
That didn't take long.
Exactly.
No, unless you're talking to a woman at the store and you're buying your wife a surprise anniversary gift or something, I guess.
Or business, something like that, if you had to email for business. But other than that, there shouldn't be any secret passwords. There shouldn't be any secret anything, absolutely nothing secret from each other.
No way.
And especially if it's bothering your spouse.
Yeah.
If they're asking the question because it is, and maybe they're looking for, an answer to say, no, it's okay to do. It's not okay to do. Right. Especially if something bothers him, whether I think it's silly or not, it bothers him. Therefore, I shouldn't do it.
The data,
vice versa.
The data is overwhelming. The results are overwhelming. We are incapable as a culture to manage technology the way that it is. We don't have the maturity, we don't have the strength, I don't know what you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is this, have your phone, your iPad, your email, whatever, think, how could you have a secret with your spouse, from your spouse, but you're sleeping, you're having sex with each other? What is that? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. No, don't do it. Don't go there. Yeah, but you know what? This is an old friend from school. All the more reason why you don't go there.
That's right. The worst.
Yeah, but you know what? She's one of the purchasing agents at work. Then, listen, if you have to talk to her, then why don't you dictate it to your wife and let her type it? I mean, you guys, seriously, you've got to radically protect your marriage. This is the most dangerous age for marriage, I believe, in human history. Mm-hmm. And no games, no secret codes. Right. No way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Questions and Answers with Jack and Lisa. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you stay strong and not let the trials of life get in the way of God's blessing in all your relationships. Today's question and answer segment was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for your marriage and how His plan works. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and have you ever thought about being in paradise, learning about the God of paradise? And at the Grand Wailea Hotel and Resort in Maui, Hawaii, the wonderful people at livingwatervacations.com is hosting a week-long inspirational gathering, listen, literally in paradise, June 6th to the 12th, 2017, all Christ-centered, as we're going to have a tremendous time with special guest worship and speakers such as Kirk Cameron and Jeremy Camp leading in worship. So I look forward to seeing you. I sure hope you can join us. God bless you, and it's going to be amazing.
Go to livingwatervacations.com for more information. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.